Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Jay Armaline.
I posted this. I don't know how many saw it online today. Thought this was interesting. It says, because we've been talking a lot about information, thinking a lot about that lately, you know, it's hard to believe that information, I sang a lot today, so my voice is rough, that information is doubling every 12 hours. And I was thinking about that, trying to think of how could that possibly be? But I was reading an article this week that I realized that back when I was growing up, unless I would have bought that magazine, I never would have read the article. But because of Apple News, I can get not only that article, but every other article that kind of has those tag words, right? And so when you think about how often we're sharing every moment of our life on the internet, that is information. Right? And when you come to church, that is information. And so this is the quote I shared today. It says, information to action ratio. That's an actual scientific term. It's the term used to describe the fact that we are overloaded with so much information that we rarely do anything with what we learn. That we get so much information coming our way that it's often hard to even know what to do with it or even think about it. So if sometimes I'm trying to remember my sermon and I'm the guy that prepared it and preached it, I know that you're struggling to remember maybe my title. So what I want to get better at is maybe we just need to pause for moments in our, you know, that's why in Psalms it says Selah, if that's the right way to say it, but it's basically to pause. Think about what was just written there. I think sometimes after we do a message, we got to be like, okay, how do we apply that? Jot it down, because chances are you're going to forget by the time you get home. There's 14 messages in our services, right? The songs alone are messages. I don't know about you, but I hope that song blessed you. The words to that bridge captivated my heart. Like, just think on these words, your cross, it's the son of suffering. Your cross is my freedom. Your stripes is my healing. Isn't Jesus good? All praise, King Jesus, glory to God in heaven. Your blood, it's still speaking. Your love, it's still reaching. All praise, King Jesus, glory to God forever. Ah, thank you, Lord. Lord, we just ask for a deeper revelation of what you did on the cross. Amen? Amen, amen. All right, so we're talking rhythms of grace. I'm still excited back there. I'm trying to get out of back there so I can get into here. Can you do one thing with me? I wanted you to do this. Everybody raise your hands. These are hands to praise with. When you're having a bad day, these are hands to worship with. You know, what do? You see a movie, hopefully no one's ever gone through this, but if you've ever been in, you've seen a movie where they're having a heist, you know, and they say, stick them up, back in the olden days, and it's a sign of surrender, isn't it? So when you're going through something, you have hands to surrender with. Just put your hands on your lips. You have lips to worship with. If you're going through a tough time, man, praise the King. Just worship him. If you don't understand what's going on, worship him. Because chances are you won't figure it out anyway, right? How many have ever stayed awake at night all night long and felt better at the end of that night? Worrying. Most people don't. How many feel much better if you can put your heart and head and mind at ease and you can go to sleep and wake up and say, Jesus, go to bed by saying, Jesus, to quote a song, Jesus, take the wheel. And to wake up and go, Lord, I know you've got control. So, Lord, now I need the answer if you could show me. Amen? All right, if you could put the first slide up, please. We've been talking about this scripture verse that's coming up. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me. And you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. So much. I love that. I love that verse so much in there. It's funny, we're as staff often discussing, we'll end up in each other's room talking about Sabbath. Who ever thought that taking rest and a Sabbath as pastors would be so interesting and difficult? Like, I'm actually amazed that we're all sitting around going, so how do we do this? I feel like, was it Hezekiah that found the scrolls again? And, you know, like, they dusted off the law, and he's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe everything it said. Now, I'm not talking about law, and we'll get there in a second. But it's like learning something and going, I forgot about this. And we're talking about, we've been talking for the last few weeks, that there is so much going on in life right now, so much information being sent our way, so many things to think about, so many obstacles, so much division. They say this is one of the most divisive times in our history, at least, for sure, that we're not rested anymore. It's causing physical ailments. We've talked about all this. And so when we're talking about Sabbath, and I know I'm sharing a lot of information that I'm reading, and it's blowing me away, and I'm hoping to share it and blow you away. But when I read it, I'm like, oh my goodness, what would it be like to take one day a week to rest and worship the King and love on my family? Did anybody get excited last week thinking about that? Please say somebody did. Raise your hand if you got excited. Help me out here. Did anybody else during the week go, but how do we do it? What does it look like? How do I stop? Like, how do you, in a world that is spinning, it's like being a kid on those merry-go-rounds. Remember those? And your friends would push it as fast as they can, but you wanted to get off. And you're like, I know if I jump, I'm hitting a tree or something. And then, you know, if they swing it fast enough, you're hanging on, you know. It's the spinning your child around. You let go by accident. It's like, how do I get off the merry-go-round? Well, that's what we're trying to figure out right now, is how do we get off the spinning world that we're on? And I'm not meaning get off the earth, but I'm meaning get off one day a week the craziness. And it's funny, I'll tell you right now, and I hope November the 7th, you'll take this experiment with us to try to plan a day of rest. And I'm telling you right now, if you don't plan, you will not make it. Last week, because I've been working on Sabbath, working to have Sabbath, not working on Sabbath, working to have Sabbath. That's kind of an oxymoron. I use the wrong words. And last week, because it was raining, because I love to go for walks and all that, I found myself sitting inside a little bored. I'm like, it's raining. What do I do? I don't want to sit here all day. So I read a book for a while. And then I'm like, what do I do? I did not plan for this scenario. And I thought, man, I got to plan better for next time. My kids were working that day, so, you know, just there was not a lot going on. And if yesterday I had a lot of work to do, I closed my pool. I know I shared that with you, and you're all excited. You've been wondering if I closed my pool, but I did. Thank you. And but I wanted to stop because it was wet and raining, and I knew today would be a much better day to do it. And I could have done it, and I wouldn't have felt legalistic at all about it. But I'm like, no, I want a day of rest. So I worked through the rain and blah, 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 and got the pool closed. So I'm planning. That's my point. I'm planning to do this. All right. I need you guys. You guys awake? This is the quick review. Slide number two. Last week we talked about, out of Exodus, it says, look, the people of Israel, this is when they're in Egypt, now outnumber us and are stronger than we are. We must make a plan to keep them from growing even more. So the Egyptians made the Israelites their slaves. They appointed brutal slave drivers over them, hoping to wear them down with crushing labor. They were ruthless in all their demands. We talked last week. We won't go into all of it. We just talked the fact that we have, our society has come under, without realizing it, this need for more, this need for hustle, the life hacks that you can try to do to get more out of every day. And there's nothing wrong with trying to do things better and be more efficient. The problem is that we moved from a consumer or a producing nation to a consuming nation. You know, and the minute that changed many years ago, they realized that they have to convince us to consume to keep this thing going. It's one thing when you're in a war and you are basically making ammunition and food. That's really what the concern was. We got to make sure we have enough to send our soldiers over with so they can fight, and we need to somehow survive over here. But when everybody came back, that time's done. And now they have all these buildings, literally, that they did not know what to do with, so they began to teach people to consume. And so now we're consumers. And everything is like, you know, five-year contracts are now worth three-year contracts, and now they're two-year contracts because they have convinced us the phone that you have now is not going to be good in 2 years. So we have this constant need for more, and what that does is it begins to make you have to work harder, longer for the next. You guys with me? Next slide, please. I was reading this article. I won't say the gentleman's name. It was a gentleman, an actor from Hollywood, and I thought this was so interesting. Somebody was quoting him, and he said, his work ethic, so they're calling it a good thing, his work ethic is so disproportionate to what he could get away with. Basically, the guy was saying, this guy's so famous that he does not have to work as hard. And then he said this, the guy hustles nonstop. Do you see that as a positive? Like, they wrote that as a positive. Like, man, this guy could get away with so much more. He doesn't need to do it, but he's got such a good work ethic. The guy hustles nonstop. And I thought, there it is, right there. I just reading an article, and we don't realize this is what we're being taught. So to have a good work ethic, now I am all for a good work ethic. Please do not misunderstand what I'm trying to say. But what I'm talking about is the word hustle nonstop. Because I wonder with this gentleman how his wife feels about that. I wonder how his kids feel about that. I wonder how his body feels about that. In the article, he talks about how he's battled anxiety all his life. Is it possible? Is it possible that that's why he battles anxiety? And he said, I work to cover my anxiety. So it's interesting. A lot of times we're actually not dealing with the issue inside our hearts, inside our minds, inside our bodies. We're covering it so we can keep flying through, hoping it doesn't catch up with us. If I can run faster, maybe it'll stay behind me. Next slide. Next slide, there we go. Look at this quote. The Sabbath has largely been forgotten by the church, which has uncritically mimicked the rhythms of the industrial and excess-obsessed West. The result, our road-weary, exhausted churches have largely failed to integrate Sabbath into their lives as vital elements of Christian discipleship. It is not as though, I love this, we do not love God. We love God deeply. We just don't know how to sit with God anymore. We have become perhaps the most emotionally exhausted, psychologically overworked, spiritually malnourished people in history. When I read that, I thought that can be so true, that we take on the same rhythms and patterns of the world and get the same results, but wonder why? Because we have Jesus in our life. Doesn't Jesus fill us? Doesn't Jesus, you know, fill us with life? Well, if you don't stop to drink, if you don't stop to rest, it's no different than any other source. You're not getting filled. Now, I realize so often in my life when I'm tired, when I'm running, you know, the first thing I want to do is just stop and watch Netflix and binge, thinking that will restore my soul, but it doesn't restore your soul. It may give you a bit of downtime, but there's something different that's built into the DNA of creation that restores our soul. I want you to think about that for a minute. God gave us gravity. We don't even think about it. If I were to drop anything, my Bible, piece of paper, we know that it falls to the ground. It is a built-in thing in our universe. Can you fight against gravity and say, no, I don't believe it's real? Nobody would do that. People fight about other things that they don't believe is real. I think the earth is round, but I'll just leave it at that. But it's just the truth that there's gravity. It's built into the DNA. Scientifically, they've proven it, that there is gravity. There's just, that's, we've learned that in school. But what if written into the DNA of creation is rest? And if we, for instance, if you jump off a bridge that's really tall without a parachute or a cliff, the chances are you will die. How many agree with that? You just can't fight it. If it's a really tall mountain and you jump, you're going to die. Sometimes we want to fight the very thing that's been written into the DNA of the world. And is it possible, my argument would be, is it possible that God wrote into the very beginning, and we've looked at this and we will again, he wrote into the DNA of time, the DNA of life, that there is a need for rest one day a week. We'll look at the scriptures again real quick. You can turn to the next one. This is out of Hebrews. So then there remains a Sabbath rest for people. And we could go into this because there's two real different rests, but we're trying to just look at the day of rest. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. Because we can look at the fact that we don't have to work anymore for salvation. That's written into there. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. Just making the fact that there's a striving to enter rest. There's a working towards trying to enter rest. And if you want to partake next week and you think Saturday night, hey, maybe I'll do this tomorrow, you probably won't enter into rest. Because I'm like, guys, next Saturday, our chores and house is clean by this time Saturday night. It has to get done. Like, we're building this into our rhythm for next week. And, okay, so what are we going to do? Well, I'm going to make sure we have some board games that we're going to do. We're just going to write in. I'm going to sit with the kids this week and go, what is it that we want to look at doing next week? What will restore our soul? So I'm going to work or strive towards it. Next slide. We looked at this scripture. I love this scripture. The Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Simply to remind you that we are not here to make sure God is holy, that we will do that on that day, but it's not like Sabbath is that we're all here to make sure Sabbath happens. Sabbath is actually for us. Sabbath is for man to restore himself. It's not like we got to work hard so God can be restored. He's like, no, I'm giving you a day so you can be restored. Next slide. This goes with it. They must realize the Sabbath is the Lord's gift to you. Man, like being like a kid on Christmas. Can you imagine if your parents wrapped the biggest gift out of all the gifts, put it in front of you, go for it. And you're like, I don't want to unwrap it. I don't want it. Wouldn't you as a parent be devastated? Like, this is the greatest gift in the world I've given you. Like, this is the gift of gifts. Nah, I don't want it. I'm like, no, I'm unwrapping this gift. Because my life up until now, the rhythms of my life have proven the way I do it does not work. So I'm excited. I hope you are to go. Because some of you rest on Sundays. This is not necessarily new. Maybe you'll go to another level. But for most of society nowadays, we don't rest. I'm like, I'm excited to have a gift back into my life. Amen? Guys are so quiet today. Okay, here's the scriptures. On the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy. He blessed it and made it holy because on it, God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. Go to the next slide, please. God's perspective was to work and then rest. Adam's perspective was to know rest and then work. Too many of us are trying to be like God when we are Adam. Only when we truly know rest and celebration can we know how to work and enjoy it. We must work from rest, not to get rest. I think it's very interesting when you look at the story of creation that, you know, sometimes we think, do we have to rest because of sin in our life? Do we have to rest? Like, did this all happen because of the fall of man? But did you know that all this is in place before man falls? Man begins his journey with, what does it say? And God put Adam into a deep sleep, a deep rest. Eve comes from, and Adam comes from, a deep rest. Like, think about that. Your life begins. We talked about last week that if you look at the true, whether it's 12 o'clock or if you go by a true Jewish calendar, it's sunset, that your day begins with rest. It doesn't begin with the sunrise. It actually begins with the sunset. These are things that are blowing me away. I know it seems weird, but I'm like, man, that is so cool. My day begins with rest. I always used to think my day begins with the sunrise. I know the time changed, but my day begins with the sunrise. No, my day begins with rest. It's amazing when they wrote the Torah and the first books in the book of Genesis, there were already other gods that were being invented. And it's interesting, as I did research, they said that every other god that was invented up until that point was a slave driver. Like, you worked for these gods all the time to please them. So can you imagine when you're sharing what it's like to have this God? They're like, he built in a day of rest for you? Like, we serve our God all the time. And if we don't serve him, he gets angry. We got to serve him. We got to make sure 24/7. It's like going back to Egypt. 24/7, you're serving this hard taskmaster. You have a God that built rest into the day, built it into the week, built it into the crops. 6 years you shall farm your land, and on the seventh you shall let it rest to renew the soil and the land. Like, this is a good God. You following me? Like, this, when they're reading this going, man, your God's different than our God. It helps me kind of re-look at the Old Testament, because you can always look at it as this angry God, but he's like, I'm a generous God. I give you a gift of rest. Not only that, in the wilderness, you could pick up extra stuff on the sixth day. You didn't have to go work for it. It was lying around. So you just go and collected it for the seventh day. It's just awesome. God blessed three things. We talked about this last week. Animals that multiplied, which is life. Humans that multiplied, which is life. And written into it is the Sabbath, which births life. And I think, you know, the hustle of today is that you can't afford to take a day off. I think God's up there going, you can't afford not to take a day off. You want to be more creative in your job? You need to rest that mind. You want your spiritual life to come alive? You need to get back focused on me and the goodness of who I am. That's that song today for me. I worked on it all week because I just loved it. And those words just kept ringing. It was life to me. Although I was practicing to get it ready, I'm like, every time I sang it or listened to it, it was life to me. So written in the Sabbath is life. He wants to give you life. Everybody just say amen or something. Let me know you're awake. Next slide. We are to work, we talked about this last week, from identity and not for our identity. I think it's absolutely amazing that God gave them exactly what they were supposed to do. Adam and Eve, you are going to take, you're going to be fruitful and multiply. You're going to take dominion over all the fish of the sea, all that lives on the earth. Now, take a break. I didn't do anything yet. I know, I just gave you your identity and I gave you all that you're going to be doing. Now take a break. It kind of goes with, you know, if you go into modern productivity, a lot of people say before you go to bed, because your mind's going to think about tomorrow anyway, before you go to bed, make your list. All the things you got to get done the next day so you're not sitting in bed thinking about it. And then rest. It's like it's built into our DNA and they're trying to line up with it. So you get your orders, you know who you are, you know what you got to do. All right, now I rest. I'm God's child. He created me. I actually look almost identical to God. We were created in his image. God rested. I get to rest. I know who I am. Jesus gets baptized. Heaven's open. This is my son in whom I'm well pleased. Gets filled with the Holy Spirit, and then he goes into 40 days of rest before he does any part of his ministry. I just think that the world and the devil has so twisted things that we are running constantly to find our identity instead of resting and living in our identity. I wonder if we'd be more productive if we sat for 2 hours on a Sabbath Sunday. For us, we're taking Sunday. You can take whatever fits into your schedule. I know a lot of people, it's different. You got to pick a day. But I wonder if we actually did better for 2 hours and just sat on a hammock, enjoying the beautiful weather that was, sit on your chair in the living room and just went, God, I thank you for who you've made me to be. I thank you that you blessed me. I thank you that I'm a child of God. I wonder if we do so much more in life doing that, I'm talking to myself as well, instead of thinking how we could get up the next, you know, how can we one up the next guy? How can we do more? How can we hustle a little more and get a little more cash? Did you know that never stops? They did a study once and they asked somebody that made $100,000, when would you be happy? Like, what price would it take for you to get happy? He said, I would be happy if I made $1 million. They asked the millionaire then, so are you happy? No. What would it take for you to be happy? And the millionaire said, if I could have $10 million. And you can understand how the story goes. When you get to where you're at, there's always more. You have billionaires that are looking for the next billion. You have billionaires that are trying to become the first trillionaire. It never stops. It never will, because it's demonic. It's not God. No, I'm not saying being blessed is not God. I'm not saying having money is not God. Please understand what I'm saying. I'm saying the hustle for it, the it's never enough is not God. Whew. We are to work from our identity, not for our identity. You are a child of God who has the breath of God. You have the breath of God. He breathed the breath of God into you. You are loved and accepted. He is your Father and He loves you. Isn't that just good news? You know, when we're worshiping, that just washes over us. That song today, glory to God forever. Glory to God forever, because He's our Father and He breathed life into us. Next slide. And I shared this last week that just totally cut me to the heart. This was from a pastor. He said, I can break 9 commandments and lose the church, but I can break the Sabbath, the 10th or the 4th in the list, and I can get a raise. His point was that the rhythm of the world is well entrenched in the church. So the very day that I should be resting, I could work, and I could work 6 days a week, and they'll give me a raise for it because I'm doing such a good job. But very few people in this society anymore are going, hey, do you have time to rest? How's your soul? How's your heart? And then we're going to look at one more slide. This is where we ended last week. 4 components of Sabbath: stop, rest, delight, and worship. Turn to Proverbs, please. Proverbs 4. Thought a lot this last week. You know, for some, I know that this would feel like, are we going back to law? And I think it's an interesting question, because I think you can go back into law when you talk about subjects like this. You know, people say that 10 commandments no longer really are, really that's law. It's interesting that Jesus came though and spoke into them and really raised the bar on them. But even if we just forget about that, in Proverbs 4, verse 23, it says, so above all, guard the affections of your heart. Let me read it, out of first, not the Passion Translation. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Guard your heart above everything else, because it determines the course of your life. Passion says, so above all, guard the affections of your heart, for they affect all that you are. Pay attention to the welfare of your innermost being, for from them flows the wellsprings of life. I sometimes think it's interesting that when I started this, you know, I'm amazed, if you go on the internet, the debates that happen, the arguments that happen, the criticism that happens, it's pretty much like our culture today all around, over the Sabbath. Well, it's too legalistic. You're trying to become a Jew. It's no longer valid anymore. And the way I'm looking at it, with all even the other 10 commandments, I stop and I think, if our heart is in the right place, because out of it flow everything, I wonder if the first step is we need to have the rest so we can actually have our heart in the right place. Because if my heart is in the right place, Ryan said it earlier, and my neighbor gets blessed and my heart is actually whole, I don't covet what he has. I celebrate what he has. But so often our hearts are hurt, broken, disappointed, all these things, and then we can't celebrate somebody else's victory. You know, if I love my wife, I love my wife. I don't want to, if my heart is right and we keep communication open and we talk and we do all these things, then why would I want to ever hurt her and betray her? My heart's right and I've kept communication open with my parents. Why would I not want to honor them? Like it all starts with the heart. But I wonder if it all starts with rest so our heart can be right. I want to read this quote. I don't have it up as a slide. This is from John Ortberg. He says, "Hurry is not just a disordered schedule." I'll try to read it slowly so you can take it in. "Hurry is not just a disordered schedule. Hurry is a disordered heart. All too often, our hurry is a sign of something else, something deeper. Usually that we're running away from something. Father wounds, childhood trauma, last names, deep insecurities or deficits or self-worth, fear of failure, pathological inability to accept the limitations of our humanity, or simply boredom with the mundanity of middle life." Do you get all that? It's basically saying, maybe we can't, he's talking about hurry here, which really goes back to rest. Maybe it's not about a disordered schedule. So I can tell you from my experience, one of the warning signs for me when I begin to walk out of rest and into anxiety, you know, when you've gone through it a few times, you begin to get the warning signs, the check engine light comes on. So I've now discovered for me personally, when I begin to try to better organize my life, it's a warning that something else is happening in my life. I'm like feeling compelled to try to do things better, try to schedule things better. And there, of course, there's moments where you're like, I gotta get things more organized. There's nothing wrong with that. But when it becomes a like all-consuming thing, I now know, something else is going on. And what he is saying is it's not just about a disordered schedule that's gonna get you right. It's about a disordered heart. And you need to stop. You probably need to see somebody. You need to get a pastor in your life, a counselor in your life, a therapist in your life. Those are all valid things to go, hey, there's something going on. And boy, I've been through this cycle over and over again. I need to get this fixed. I have a disordered heart. I can't rest. I can't stop. I can't stop thinking. You want me to take a Sabbath, but that's just killing me. I know for some people, it's like, are you asking to kill me? And if you don't kill me and Sabbath doesn't kill me, my wife might kill me. I could just see it like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. All right, we tried Sabbath. Go ahead and get back to work. Because I'm going to kill you or you're going to kill me. But maybe we're afraid to stop and go, why? Because we're so used to thinking it's okay that we don't even stop to think why anymore. You know, why do I need that next thing? What is the draw for me to so need something that works so well already in my life? You know, why do I need that next job? What is it going to do for me that, you know, is it that we need more finances and that's a legit question? Or is it that I don't feel good about myself? I don't feel secure in who I am, so I need to get another job or a better job so I can feel better about myself. But then you get into that job only to realize there's another job that you want to feel better about yourself because that person is better than you. It just never stops. But a rested heart, a heart that's okay, a heart that's learning who they are in Christ is like, okay, let's logically think about this. Let's sit down as a family and talk about this. How will this affect our life? Do I need this job? You want to go the next mile. The gentleman that wrote one of the books that I read, he realized that he can have a spending problem. See, he actually has a group of guys in his life that they sit down. He has to get permission from them if he wants to spend over $1,000. Boy, that's taking it to another level. You say, that's legalistic. Nope, that's a boundary for him. Because what he does is, if he feels like he has to get it, he'll sit down and say, guys, is my heart okay with this decision? You know, I need some counsel from a group of people that I really love and trust. Do you guys think this is like wise? And I think there's seasons for that. I think you can climb out of holes like that. Like where you get people in your life to go, no, don't, let's not do that. You know, let's talk about what's underneath that desire. But I think you can get healed enough to go, I think that season might be over, but you got to figure out what season you're in. It's really quiet, eh? Read one other quote, maybe one other, I got so much. When all is said and done, the worst thing that has happened to Sabbath is religion, not God. Please understand, okay? Religion is hostile to gifts. Boy, this is, you know what we do? We become saved and then we try to earn something else, right? We understand that salvation is a free gift, and then, man, I got to do more. Religion is hostile to gifts. Religion hates free stuff. Religion squanders the good gifts of God by trying to earn them, which is why we will never enjoy a sacred day of rest as long as we think our religion is all about earning. Isn't that good? Help Jesus. Okay. So I gave you the heavy stuff. Let's go with the light stuff now. Everybody, you look at your neighbor and go, whoo, that was hard. Oh, that was pretty good. Good representation. Ooh. I don't even know what animal that is or what that is, but hey. Let me give you some ideas here. So next week, we're taking a Sabbath. I say all that because if our heart's not right, we're going to try to be legalistic about it. You know what I mean? There might be something that happens. This is what literally has happened to a culture where they're like, I can't walk more than this many feet. I can't push an elevator button to go up. I can't do any of this stuff. We're not talking about that. What we are talking about when we look at the first two, which is stop, the word Sabbath actually comes from Shabbat, and the little word means stop. You can't start a Sabbath without stopping. So what do we mean by stop? We mean that you need to stop working. You need to stop working physically, and you need to stop working mentally. So you have to figure out what that means for you next week. If you're going to join us, what does that mean to take? And when I say join us, I'm not trying to do like a one-day event. I am trying to get us all to do it the same day so we can celebrate. I hope this is something that we all take on. I'm so concerned, Rod and I have talked about this many times, that we give a message and then we just move on. Right, you do declarations and you start to get them into your system and then you forget and you move on. And then you do the next thing and you forget and you move on. I don't personally, this is an invitation. This is not a you have to, but I don't want to move on. After I've done all this study and figured out what this is doing in my life, this rhythm, why would I want to go back to that rhythm when I can have this rhythm? Closer family, healthier mental life, physical life, emotional life. More creativity, closer to God, hearing his voice better. Why would I want to go back to that? See, that drags me over to the hustle. I'm going to hustle 6 days a week. Think about it that way. I'm going to hustle 6 days a week. I'm going to have 1 hour a day where I don't, but I'm going to have 1 day a week where I don't. And if you really want to get good, you take 1 week a year where you don't. It's the 1-1-1 principle. 1 hour a day, 1 day a week, 1 week a year. So first thing you got to do is stop. I would highly recommend if you're going to do it, don't open your emails. Let me give you an example, and I don't want to make Rod feel bad. Maybe a little. No, I don't. A couple years ago, we were finishing the Forge, and we went on vacation with my parents. And I remember it was a big question you had to ask me. And I happened to have internet where I was at. Normally, I wouldn't. And so he just texted me a simple question. It was, again, it's not his fault. He needed an answer for something. And I answered him. But I was amazed that one question pulled me back all day, if not the second day, into thinking about what needed to be done. And so here I am on vacation in my body, but my brain was back working. So when you open emails and you actually, some of you would say, but I love to do my work. I know, that's great. I love my job too most days. But even if you love your job, you need to have a break. Right? The point is to stay connected. Man, we talked about my girls where, you know, I'm on my phone. It's funny that I'm the one that's doing it. It should be, you know, me yelling at them, but it was them yelling at me. I'm on my phone and they're like, Dad, can you please look? Can you look at me? Can you put away your phone for a minute? Well, Sabbath is about connection. It's about stopping. So I would recommend that we shut these things off for 24 hours. I can feel the heartbeats rising. Blood pressure. Kids are getting angry. My kids aren't here, so I can say this. When I told them this, they went, what? So I'm going to give them, this is what we're planning on doing. It's going to be off all day, and then I'm going to give them at night. You know, true Sabbath starts at sunset and ends the next sunset, but I'm going to give them a chance because in their world, if they don't snap or do something every day, TikTok, snap, there's all these terms. I don't even know what the current one is. I think Instagram's back on the radar. But if they don't get it out to their friends, it's like their friendships all break down. That's a whole sermon in itself, isn't it? Moving on. Stop your work. So for us, because I could stop and then be like, all right, where's my meal, baby? So we're going to actually prepare the meal the night before because I want her to stop too, her meaning Krista. I want to all stop. So we're going to devise ways. It doesn't mean you can't, like, see, this is where law goes. Well, I can't lift it. I'm on rest. You lift it. It's got to go in the oven. I'm on a Sabbath. Oh, good. You're going to starve then. Like, that's where you get ridiculous, isn't it? But see, the other side to it is, and this is why I think laws get produced, because somebody doesn't know how to stop, so they go, okay, for you, 400 feet, and that's it. If you walk more than 400 feet, you're done. But it becomes a law, because somebody else is like, but I just want to go do all my yard work. It's restful for me. I know it may be, but take a break. Just stop. Now, for somebody sitting on a lawnmower, you know, maybe you don't get to do it all week. And for you, it's like, I finally get to cut my grass at 4 feet long. Maybe that is a Sabbath for you. I don't know. But it's interesting how we can't sometimes stop. So I'm going to give, you know, we're going to figure out how to cook a meal before we have to eat it and then just put it in the oven. Put electronics away. Stop texting, tweeting, posting, snapping, TikToking, reading. We already talked about that. Stop talking about work. I was watching a show the other day, and they sat as a family, and the one person said, all we do is talk about work. And they're like, okay, we're not going to talk about work. And then they all just sat there. They had no clue what to talk about. Isn't that the issue right there? If you, it's like empty nest syndrome, when all the kids leave the house, and you're like, well, what do we talk about? We always talk about the kids. We always talk about how we're going to beat them. Yell at them, joking. But we talk about our kids. So when the kids leave, if you haven't developed that relationship, a lot of people split up because they have nothing, they don't know, they don't have no relationship. So when we got talk about work all the time and all the things that need to be done, then you got to find something else to talk about. And here, I got to finish. Here's where I think our society has gone so wrong. Hey, so how are you doing, honey? What? You want to talk about that around the dinner table? Yeah, how are you doing? Caleb, how are you doing? Now, we do this on a regular basis. It's not the conversations we have at our dinner table would make most people's hair stand up in the back of their neck because there's nothing off topic. We've talked about sex to my sons, you know, because the girls have no problem. But for Caleb, he's like, oh, dear Lord, I'm out of here. Or like, Caleb, sit back down. But I'm amazed when you start having conversation, what comes out of their mouth, and they start sharing things that they've witnessed, you know, the transformation of beautiful girls from grade 8 into what they become in high school, and they're horrified. Like, these things begin to open up because we talk about something other than chores and work. We've talked about incredible things. We've talked about trips. You know, I haven't ordered them yet, but I know there's these cards that you can get where you can literally pull a card out and go, okay, this is the question we're talking about today. You may even want to prepare some of those. But it's like, hey, what's your favorite trip? And everybody gets to talk about that. What's your favorite activity? I know family that do this. What's the worst thing that happened today, and what's the best thing that happened today? And that can open up a conversation all day long. So you're going to talk. You're going to share. You could have another friend over, family member over, you know, cousins over, and just have a party. This is supposed to be a time of celebration. The more I read about the culture, the Jewish culture, man, it is a celebration without work. It sounds like a holiday, which is a holy day. That's where the word comes from. Where you can enjoy and figure out a way to do it. And then, okay, here moms and maybe dads, this is the hard thing. If you don't want to, you don't have to make your bed in the morning. I'm reading different people as they journey. And so obviously they make their kids make their bed every day and they're very ritualistic. But on the Sabbath, they're like, you don't have to make your bed. And the kids are like, yay, this is great. Some of them do the dishes, but some of them are like, we're not even going to do the dishes after dinner. You want me to wake up to dirty dishes? Maybe. I don't know. It's up to you. What makes your heart come alive? Stop and rest your mind. You guys getting it? The last one, we did stop. The last one is rest. It's simple. We talked about this last week. What makes you come alive? It doesn't mean that you sit on the couch like I did last week for half the day and go, what do I do? Because I didn't have things prepared. But what makes you come alive? For some people, it's a walk in nature. For some people, they take a drive to the beach. For some people, they take a drive. That's why we have the term Sunday drivers. Because they're out there going, la-di-da-da-da-da-da. And then you all have the people that want to hustle going, what's with this driver? I'm resting. Sorry. Sunday drivers. What is it that makes you come alive? Go visit a friend. You got to figure out what makes your soul come alive again. We're so foreign to the things that make us. Like, literally, we stop and we go, what does make us come alive? All I know is taking care of babies and baby diapers. And that does not make me come alive. What does make you come alive? Maybe for you, it's like 1 hour in the bathtub with a book. I don't know. You got to figure it out. But what makes you come alive? It could be, you know, Abby, bathtub, book, Max, outside, putting. I'm alive. So for me on my Sabbath, if I had a ski hill in my backyard, I would not feel convicted one bit going skiing. Some people would be like, you're breaking the Sabbath. No, my soul is coming alive. Because that for me is like fishing for rod. My soul comes alive. I don't get an opportunity to do that much, but that's what I would do if I could. Tobogganing. You know, in the wintertime, I remember doing that. We'd go out and toboggan and ice skating, all these things that we don't have time for normally. Come alive. Coffee by the fireplace. Gas fireplace. Pretty simple these days. You don't even have to chop wood. Wood never goes out. Oh, hallelujah. Let me read it real quick and then I'm done. Quick list. I won't go into details, but an actual Sabbath, they light 2 candles. I think it's cool. A lot of these people that I read about, they make some sort of ceremony to start their Sabbath so everybody knows Sabbath has started. That was really why they lit 2 candles. There's a beautiful ceremony that goes with it. You can do whatever you want. They light 2 candles to remember and obey. That's what they signify. We'll talk about that next week. One of the things that they do on Sabbath that I think is so missing in our culture, they bless their children every Sabbath. Wow, what would that do for us if we blessed our kids? Like, bless, lay hands on them, and I bless you. Every once a week, 52 times a year, you blessed your kids. Just think about that alone, how much that could change our families. Because we didn't do that when we had a day of rest before, but I'm like, that's a good idea. I don't know if I've ever laid hands other than injury and just said, I've told them that, but I don't know if I've ever just laid my hands on them and blessed them. Interesting thought. Eat a special meal together. You worship as a community. We're going to do that Sunday. I hope you come in ready to worship on Sunday. Walk, nap, Here's permission to make love if you're married. I could say so much right now. I'm going to read a book. Do things that make your heart come alive. Have family time. Have a friend over. Play a board game. Laugh a lot. Laugh a lot. Man, next week, find a way to laugh. And be grateful. That is one of the things we're going to talk about next week, because the last two are delight and worship. So next week when we come in, we're going to talk about how do we delight on this day? How do we worship on this day? We know how to worship, but what about all day if we had our affections turned towards the Lord? Instead of walking through the house, you didn't see everything that was wrong, because that's what we normally see, right? Things we got to fix. But you went, gosh, I'm so thankful for this house. I'm so thankful that we've lived in this house for so many years. I'm so thankful that we got that new thing a while back. I'm so thankful that that thing is actually still working. Gratefulness. Why don't you stand? I'm going to keep blabbing and bore you. Well, you do me a favor if it's a good word, and let's try to all put it into practice, because, man, I don't want to have a information, whatever it was called, ratio. Anybody else going to rest today? Anybody going to plan to take a nap? Does it feel good that you can take a nap and go like, I'm being obedient to God? Oh, that's going to get somebody into trouble. Hey, can you help me do this? I'm taking a nap. I'm being obedient to God and my pastor. I'm shutting. That's why pastors shut off their phones on Sunday, because we don't want to hear texts from you. My husband won't get off the couch. Lord, help. Father God, we truly want to have a Sabbath. Lord, thank you for opening our eyes to all these beautiful things and more to come. Lord, I thank you that you want to teach us how to rest in a culture that hurries. Lord, you want to teach us to have our soul at rest. And Lord, we truly only say, we say help. This is so foreign to us. It's so foreign to our culture. The younger you are, the more foreign it is. Lord, help us literally with our addictions, where we have a hard time putting down our phone. We have a hard time not watching TV or sports. Lord, help us to truly find rest in you. And Lord, I pray that not only will we rest our bodies, but Lord, I pray that our spirits and our souls would become healed and become alive again. Lord, I pray that it wouldn't just be doing it to get something out of it, that we would our whole attention would be drawn back to you and the goodness of God. And Lord, that we would truly make this day holy unto you once again with a greater understanding. So we say help in Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can visit us online at antiochcanada.ca.